Once again, it's good to be with you this afternoon. However, it's a little harder this time because now I've got to keep everyone awake after we've all eaten. So either I've got to speak louder or, as someone mentioned, start throwing stuff at you. I'll probably avoid that last one. Earlier this morning, when I was setting up, I overheard Brother Danny talking about a lead on tape, or he liked to listen to, and he'd listened to it several times. And the of that lesson he was talking about was, why don't we drown when we're, wouldn't it be nice when you think about it? And it was interesting he said that, because that's how I wanted to somewhat begin this lesson. I remember my baptism well, and my sisters too. We were baptized the same day. And I'm sure those of you who were baptized probably remember yours as well. Now, I remember enjoying it, of course, and feeling really great coming out of the water. When I look back on it, if there's anything I could have changed, it sounds weird, but it sure would have been nice to have been struck dead then. Think about it. No chance to sin. You haven't been tempted. If you were to die right after being baptized and you had done it right, you'd be set to go to heaven. But it did not turn out that way for us, because obviously we're still here. And I know that baptism is a step. It is the first step getting to heaven, going towards God. Sometimes we sing the song, Only a Step. And in that way, if we're here and we've got our goal, we've got heaven, we've got God, we take that first step in the right direction.
We're pretty much doing
we know that step very well. But there's another step. Step two. We're going to talk about step two today. So what is step two? Well, that would involve crossing the line. Crossing the line. What's our line? Let's look at this passage. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is the knowledge after the image of him that created him. It's Colossians 3, verses 1 through 10. Putting off the old man, and that is step two. Crossing the line, this is our line. We begin in the world. And if I asked every one of you, when you died, where would you want to go? I'm pretty sure you would all say you want to go to heaven. I don't know who would want to say, no, Ben, I don't want to go to heaven. So that's our goal. Heaven is our goal. We have a distinct line here. Going back to our example, only a step. We take that first step. We cross over that line. We've got one foot in heaven. We're in the right direction. But we've got one foot left in the world, don't we? Straddling that line. One foot's in heaven, one's in the world. So we've taken a step in the right direction getting baptized. We're on the way, but we're not done. We've got to remove that back foot out of the world. So that's what putting off the old man is getting out of the world. Look at this verse in Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Peculiar people, different, apart from the world, with our foot out of the world. We got to set ourselves apart. put off the old man, we've got to make some sort of a change, don't we? In some cases, might require someone to be completely different, do a complete 180-degree turn. I've heard several speakers and motivational speakers, and you know, in high school, it's a lot about drugs and things. An interesting thing is, a lot of those giving the speeches, a lot of those who are best at it, were former addicts. They had made changes. They turned their life around. They put off that old man, and they put on a new one. Now, we've got to do this as Christians. An old man of sin, I put that off and put on the new one. But there's a little problem with that. Not all of us seem to really have an old man. We don't have a completely bad life that we have to completely change. Because we were brought up in the church, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm very thankful that I had been brought up in a Christian family. At the same time, I realize a lot of the things I've come to do, I kind of expected myself to do. I expected one day I'd be baptized, and you know, one day I'd start doing the things my dad did, leading songs, you know, maybe speaking. Then there's people who aren't like this, who have maybe not known a life like that. And so they do have to make a complete turn. They have to put off an old man, put on a new one. But for those of us who were raised in the church, it's hard for us to make a distinction, because it's the only life we've really known. I'm at risk for taking what we have for granted. 1 Timothy 6:9, we read this verse earlier this morning. It still applies. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Rich. We're concentrating on that same word. Those of us who were brought up in a Christian family, constantly around the church, we're rich in that manner, that we've been raised around that. So, with that, we're a little bit at risk to take it for granted. We just don't realize what a good thing we have. It's an amazing thing when you think about it. You become so used to it, it loses a little shine. And we lose our excitement as Christians. Now, I know several people who are some of the most devoted people. They go out of their way to make meetings, travel far, they speak to people about the Bible. They're excited to come to church, be there, and be with other Christians. And a lot of those people who are like that, not previously in the church. They had come into it on their own. They had been searching. They found it. And they're excited about it. And they continue to be excited about it. Why? Because they got to put off that old man, put on a new one. Even my own dad, he was actually raised Catholic. But now, after he met my mom, she changed him. And there are a few people I know that was as excited about church and work in Christianity as my dad. I know several like that. They go off and do ministries and go far off places to do this thing. And they're excited about it. Now, for those of us who have become so used to it, we're a little bit in trouble at becoming stagnant Christians. You know, mornings, same old routine maybe. We'll come here, we'll sit down, we'll sing some songs, we'll pray, we'll listen to the prayer, and we'll listen to the speaker. You know, Sunday morning we'll take communion, and we'll just do it all again next week. That's about all it is to us. It's a routine. In Luke 18:10-14, we'll look at a pretty famous story, and it's about the Pharisee and the publican. If we continue to take what we have for granted, you know, realize what it's like to put off an old man and put on a new one, we're at risk at this. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Become like that Pharisee when we just go through these motions. Like, oh, I go to church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday nights. Whenever there's a meeting around, I go way more than these bad people, you know. But, you know, we've got to continue to keep that humbleness. So, crossing the line. Oh, we just aren't willing to leave the world behind when it comes down to it. Talked about this morning, what does this world have to offer us? We're so worried about the things we do in it when we should work out of the world. But you know, we're raised up in this world. We come to love things in the world. We're so attached to it. Matthew 7:13-14, we see what the temptations that it offers us. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. That's the world. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So in our example of taking a step, we've got one foot in heaven. Wide and broad is the way which leadeth to temptation and destruction. That's the world. There's more space for us to have our back foot in the world than that narrow way to take that step into heaven. We got to watch out for that. To step out of the world, to get that back foot out, look what Matthew 5:29-30 says. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. We've got one foot back in the world, one foot up in heaven. It's holding us back in the world. It's better for us just to cut off that back foot. Just go ahead and lose that foot to the world, because it'll be easier for us to get to heaven that way. So there's so many things that we've become attached to in the world. God is the way. It's holding us back. Look at Luke 18:18-25. We mentioned this parable, this story earlier this morning. Now we'll read the passages. A certain ruler asking Jesus, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. He heard this, he was very sorrowful. When he saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of heaven? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Taking home ec in high school, you can barely thread a little thread through a needle. A camel, there's no way I can get that through a needle, the eye of a needle. So this rich young ruler, he had so much stuff in the world, money, goods. With all that money and goods, he probably had quite a few friends. And he became to where he loved them. He didn't want to let go of them. To get into heaven, Jesus told him, you've got to get rid of them. He was in love with the world and what he had in it. And it was holding him back. And we're very prone to do that. We raised up in this world. We come to love the people in the world, the activities, the things that it offers us. But in the end, We've got to cut those ties with the world. Ephesians 4, 17 through 32 is very similar to Colossians 3 that we started off with. This hits all the things that we have talked about. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, being a peculiar people, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Another verse we mentioned earlier this morning. Neither give place to the devil, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That is the new man. We have to become those things which was mentioned in order to cut our ties with this world, to get that back foot out of it and step towards heaven. Let's look at an example of someone who does not let go of the world. This is a very good example. Famous story, Lot and his wife. This occurs in Genesis chapter 19. And this is about when God is about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O, not so, my lord. Skipping ahead to verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Likewise, we can't look back. One way to put it, if we're looking back on the world, we're just not looking forward to heaven, are we? So, in the same manner, we can't continue to keep that back foot in the world. We can't look back on it like we're going to miss it. Heaven's got something better to offer. Revelation 3, verse 3, we're told that we don't know, and we mentioned this earlier, we don't know when we're to be taken. So we don't want to be... Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. That, remember, step one, repent. Therefore thou shalt not watch. I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. So we can't be caught treading that middle line. Revelation 3:15-16. This is how God feels about those who are treading that line, you know, riding the fence. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that work cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Cross the line. If we don't get that final step out of the world, we just can't get into heaven. If you're not in, you're out. It's like in sports, basketball, football. If one portion of the player's foot is on that line, that out-of-bounds line, they're considered out. no matter how much their foot is in, it just takes an inch of their foot to be on the line to be considered out. Same way. We can't continue to have one foot back in the world, one foot in heaven, all the way in. We can't try to ride the middle, you know, to heaven, but we like to dabble with the world. It won't work. We look at our illustration again. Where are we? Remember, today's all we got. Are we both feet in the world? Or two steps behind? Caught with one foot in the world? That's Guam. Guam. Or are we to the point where we have one foot in heaven and we're bringing that foot across? We can't exactly know if we've got our back foot out of the world, but we do our best to get it out of there. Cut it off if it offends thee. That is step two. You know that it all starts with step one, and at the end, step two, back foot out of the world, letting go of the world. Get that back foot out of the world, then we can get both into heaven. And I can pretty much assume that's where we all want to be. The church can assist you in any way, helping you make step one or helping you make step two. Always come to the front as we stand and sing the selected song.